Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, page 1235 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Beginning with the first verse, we'll read through verse 9. And the 9th verse being the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read these verses responsively, and shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their powers I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self. To the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And verse 9 together. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and that ye through his poverty might be rich. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. We thank you for this service. Once again, we are privileged to sit in this great church. Once again, we would want our hearts and our minds to be alerted to the preaching of your gospel. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for its power. We know it's life-changing. We know herein that which is thy word is what we need. And so we pray that you'd certainly help us to concentrate upon the preaching. This is the focal point of the whole service. We enjoy the music. We thank you for every part of the service. We thank you for those who were honored. But we thank you especially for the preaching. Give us, we pray, attentiveness to the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
These two young ladies sang several months ago in our church, and I was preaching somewhere in America, I forget where it was, and somebody said, I was in your church recently, and I heard two young ladies sing. So they were obviously real high-class young ladies. I asked who they were, and the two young ladies were singing a while ago. I said, they're bus kids. And you ought to see our real classy people, the First Baptist Church in Hammond. These two young ladies came here many, many years ago just as little bus kids. And they've grown up attending our church and now our college graduates, and we're proud of them. I was preaching in Redondo Beach, California, where the worldly people live. And I was preaching there, and it was a Sunday school convention. They had a bunch of committees, and one committee was supposed to introduce the speakers. Well, the chairman of the committee, was his lot to introduce me, and he didn't even know me. And he just had heard about me, and he just decided he didn't like me. And, of course, to know me is to love me. But anyway, he got up, and this is what he said. I'm quoting word for word. He said, this is Hiles. He said, he has a big Sunday school, but they're all a bunch of bus kids, a bunch of poor little bus kids. I said, here he is. That's all he said. I got up and said, you're right. Our church is composed of bus kids. But it's pretty wealthy bus kids because they gave $85,000 yesterday offering to the church. And you didn't hear what I said, did you? So thank God for the bus kids. Thank God for all of our people, of course. We're very proud of these who have come from tough circumstances, sometimes in the ghettos of Chicago, and made us proud. Tonight, I have a goal, and I'll teach you nothing tonight, but I want you to leave the building loving Jesus a tad more than you did when you came in. That's the sole purpose of my message tonight. I want to speak tonight on the subject from rags to riches. And my text is that amazing passage that we read a while ago, very familiar to all of you, if you know anything at all about the Bible. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Our Heavenly Father, a verse like this causes me to feel like a failure before I start. How can anybody speak adequately on this passage? The great King of Glory came out of his ivory palaces into a world of woe. How can anybody begin to describe such love as that? Such wonder as that? Such compassion as that? Such sacrifice as that? When he who was rich became poor, so that we, because of through his poverty, might be made rich. Give me the ears of all the people, and I pray you'd help me to do some justice, even a little bit, to this jewel of a scripture, please. In Jesus' name, amen. May I ask you, please, to listen attentively as I do my best. And this is the kind of message that I will go to my study in the field that I have failed. How can a person describe or begin to preach on this amazing text? He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Follow me carefully. Somewhere out in space tonight is a planet. A planet not yet discovered by the astronomers. I personally believe it is somewhere in the north. The psalmist said that salvation or promotion cometh from not from the east, not from the south, not from the west. I think that this planet, I think that heaven is a planet. And somewhere out yonder in space is a planet not yet discovered by the astronomers. It is where Jesus lived over 2,000 years ago. It was the homestead of eternity. Its dictionary did not contain the word sin. Its lexicon had no word listed such as sorrow. Its thesaurus did not possess the word pain. These were words foreign to the vocabulary of this planet about which I speak tonight. For you see, I believe in a literal heaven. I believe in a heaven that has golden streets and gates of pearl. I think it's as real as this planet is. And I think that somewhere up in the north parts of the solar system, there is a place far beyond the reach of our astrologers where our Savior lived over 2,000 years ago. The prince of this city was Jesus. He was the king's son, and he was the darling of this city. Here, weeping had never been invented. Frost had never been found. Headaches, stomach aches, toothaches and heartaches were yet undiscovered. The blooms of the garden of this city were perpetual.
The roses never lost their petals. The trees never lost their leaves. Beautiful, wonderful, heavenly city. The one that Jesus talked about when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. One the Apostle Paul saw but could not reveal, was not allowed to reveal what he saw, what he heard. The one he was talking about and said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Here, the rose never faded, and the sunset never came. The prince was its centerpiece. All instruments sounded his praise. All inhabitants bowed as he passed. Garlands were strewn in his path. Chariots rolled at his request. Doxologies greeted his very presence everywhere he went. Trumpets played a constant reveille, but knew no taps. There was a seven-hued rainbow round the throne that's so beautifully described in the Revelation chapter 4. Gold was poured on its streets, and pearl was used for its gates. The sound of harpets, harps, and trumpets, and dulcimers, and preceded and followed him. You see, he was rich, this prince of glory, the object of adoration, the one who was the attention and the centerpiece of this unknown planet, at least unknown at that time by men. He was rich. He was rich in power. He was rich in glory. He was rich in wealth. He was rich in holiness. He was rich in adoration. Are you listening to me? He was rich in jasper. He was rich in jacinth. He was rich in yellow topaz. He was rich in green emerald and transparent amethyst. He was rich in worship. He was rich in love. This prince on this planet, undiscovered then by man, where no human beings had ever lived, this prince was the object of its worship, the center of obeisance, the greatest recipient of honor in the city, and the keystone of praise. Everywhere he went, praises followed him, and praises preceded him. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Anthems applauded him. Seraphim serenaded him. Cherubims cheered him. Angels announced him. Diadems decorated him. Multitudes marveled at him. Heaven housed him. Chariots chartered him. Garlands graced him. Celestials celebrated him. Doxologies declared him. Gold garnished him. Praise pursued him. Faith followed him. Choirs chorused him. Wonderful fellowship with the Father accompanied all the glories of this city. Can you imagine the magnitude of the praise to which he was accustomed? Can you imagine the love that was poured out from the Father toward the Son? Can you imagine how the angels of glory praised him? And can you imagine how he loved the praise and glory and honor as he, the Prince of Heaven, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Fairest of 10,000, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Good Shepherd. Can you imagine how this wonderful prince enjoyed the praises of the celestial city, where no tears ever dropped to the pavement on the streets, and where no shoulders were ever drooped, and where no brow was ever furrowed, and no hand was ever palsied, and no foot ever took an unsure step? What a wonderful thing it was. Jesus, the center of the holy city of heaven, and best of all, the fellowship he had with the Father. In Gethsemane's garden, he prayed that God would restore, the Father would restore the fellowship to him that he had to him before the world was.
Suddenly, are you listening?
Suddenly,
something went wrong on a planet.
Something went wrong on the planet called planet Earth. His greatest creation had sinned. The one that God had made in his own image had sinned. His fellowship with man is now broken. And the very purpose for the creation of man is now nullified, at least temporarily, because God cannot fellowship with unrighteousness and deity cannot fellowship with humanity that's sinful. And the creature that God had made for fellowship with himself suddenly has sinned, and trouble was brewing on a planet down called planet Earth.
Something must be done. He rushed to heaven's gate. Are you listening?
And this darling of heaven, this prince of the holy city, this jewel of the New Jerusalem, he descended to earth's night from the glories and riches of poverty to of riches to the poverty of earth, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. There was no welcome for him when he came to earth. He was the one to come to do something to restore the fellowship with man for which God had made man. Now, I want to say this tonight, as I say so often. If you haven't fellowship with God this week, you're a flop. If you haven't spent time with God this week, you're a failure. Because the very purpose of your existence, and I'm going to preach on this one of these days, but I mean, God made you for fellowship with himself. Well, you say, I think God made me to be a soul winner. Yes, so you could win more souls so they could praise God to the praise of his glory. That's what it's all about.
There was no welcome on earth for this prince. No fanfare. No celebration. Not a trumpet blew. Not a flag waved. There was no pennant in the air. He went from a gate of pearl to a barn door.
From streets of gold to a bed of hay. He was poor. He who was rich, about whom we talked a while ago. He who had garlands strewn before him, and angels and seraphim and cherubim singing his praises. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I mean, they were singing his praises, and from that wonderful, wonderful city, with no sorrow, no tears, no heartache, no pain, no cancer, no funeral homes, no graves, no cemeteries, no heartbreak, no sadness, no broken homes, broken hearts, broken dreams, from that beautiful, wonderful city came the Prince of Glory. Why?
He loved you. He loved you. He who was rich became poor. He owned no vineyard. He owned no house. He owned no land. He did not own the boat on which he sailed. He became poor. He did not own the beast on which he rode. He who was rich became poor. He did not own the pillow where his head was laid at night. He who was rich became poor. He did not own the grave in which he was buried, or the table where he ate. He who owned heaven, as it were, now owns nothing. He who was rich became poor. His net worth was found in the garments in which he traveled by day, which he slept by night. He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, called a Sabbath breaker, a traitor, a wine bibber, a blasphemer. He who was perfect was called imperfect. He who was righteous was called unrighteous. He who never sinned was called a sinner. He who never had an evil thought was called an evil thinker. He who was perfect was called imperfect. He who was God was called an imposter. He was rich, but he came poor. Why? For my sake and for your sake, that's why. He was, I hate to say this, a street person.
He lived the same kind of existence those men live up there in the mezzanine on Sunday morning. Those 65 men that came from the streets of Chicago who slept last night maybe on a place like Lower Wacker Drive. That's what our Lord did. Foxes had their holes where they scurried at night. Birds had their nests where they flew to rest at night. But the Prince of Heaven, the one who was rich, the one who had gold and stone, and angels singing his praises, doxologies declared his presence, he became poor. He had no place to lay his head. He traded his crown of glory for a crown of thorns. He traded his robe of royalty for a borrowed soldier's overcoat. He traded a diamond-studded scepter for a hammer in a carpenter's shop. He traded his throne for a cross. He who was the object of heaven's worship now is mocked as a mock king on the cross as they put a soldier's overcoat around his body and as they put a walking stick in his hand and placed the crown of thorns on his brow and shouted, "Yeah, this is the King of the Jews! This is the King of the Jews!" And a sign over him saying, "This is the King of the Jews." Hey, this is not the King of the Jews! This is the King of Glory! He traded admiring angels for a cheering mob. He swapped his tireless body for a weary one. He exchanged his heavenly chalice for a bucket at a well. He was poor. The fox had his hole, the bird had his nest, the rabbit had his burrow, the worm had its cocoon, the bee had its hive, the pigeon had its dovecot. But the creator of them all had no place to sleep at night. Why? Why did the rich become poor? Why did the Prince of Glory become the object of hatred? Why did he who sat on a throne surrounded by a rainbow, why did he now on a cross surrounded by a jeering mob, trading the praise and worship and adoration of angelic hosts for the mobs crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" Why? Three words. For your sakes. He who was rich became poor for your sakes. He who was rich became poor to forgive your sins. He who was rich became poor to wipe your tears. He who was rich became poor to pay your price. He who was rich became poor to bear your burdens. He who was rich became poor to exterminate your loneliness. He who was rich became poor to conquer your grave. He who was rich became poor to save your soul. He who was rich became poor to suffer your hell. He who was rich became poor to bear your cross. He who was rich became poor to purchase your heaven. He who was rich became poor to redeem your life. He who was rich became poor to provide your salvation. He who was rich became poor to secure your eternity. He said, he who was rich for your sakes, became poor. For your sake, lonely mission man, who will rest your pillow, your head on a strange pillow tonight, with memories of the days when you had a family. Maybe you and your wife are happily married and you had some children and you're proud of them, but the tempter came. For your sake, men, who will rest your head on a pillow in a rescue mission tonight, he who was rich became poor. For your sake, he who was rich became poor. For your sake, weary truck driver. For your sake, homesick sailor. For your sake, weary senior saint. For your sake, poor bus kid. For your sake, fallen woman. For your sake, stumbling sot. For your sake, public school student. For your sake, ghetto-bound one. For your sake, dear blinded one. For your sake, beloved deaf friend. For your sake, those who rode to church tonight in a Jaguar's chariot or rode on a rickety old bus. For your sake, the rich, he was rich, became poor. For your sake, those dressed in hand-me-downs and those dressed in things that you'll Sunday hand down. Bless God, it was for your sake. For your sake. I said for your sake. He who was rich became poor. He who was God became flesh. He who lived in a mansion had no place to live. Said, why? For your sake. That's why. whoever you are, for your sake. Wherever you are, for your sake. Whatever you are, for your sake. Whatever you've done, for his sake. Wherever you've been, for his sake. For your sake, Magdalene, possessed with seven devils. For your sake, Zacchaeus, with your pocket bulging with ungodly, filthy lucre. For your sake, thief on the cross, with no merit to deserve heaven, but because he died for you, you'll spend eternity there, and for 2,000 years you've been there. For your sake, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. For your sake, fallen woman at Sychar, married five times and living outside of marriage with a man even now. For your sake, self-righteous Pharisee. For your sake, cripple at Bethesda, for your sake, blind Bartimaeus. For your sake, Ethiopian eunuch. For your sake, Saul of Tarsus, with the blood of Christian dripping from your godless hands. For your sake, Onesimus, with that which you've stolen from your master Philemon, back in Colossae. Hey, for your sake, dear deaf ones, in your world of silence, he who was rich became poor for your sake. As you look forward to the day when you can hear the choir sing, and you can hear the preacher preach, and you can hear the sound of the birds in the springtime. For your sake, I said, for your sake, he who was rich became poor. For your sake, dear blinded one, in your world of darkness. For your sake, dear bus kid, in your world of loneliness. For your sake, dear mission man, in your world of hopelessness. For your sake, dear aged one, in your world of uncertainty. For your sake, dear addicted one, in your world of bondage. For your sake, dear shut-in, in your world of confinement. For your sake, dear forsaken one, in your world with memories. For your sake, dear autistic one, in your world of confusion. For your sake, dear fallen one, in your world of guilt. For your sake, dear shut-in one, in your world of abandonment. It was for your sake. Hey, you up the tree there. Hey, you. Hey, you little short run up the tree up there. He, this guy walking down the streets here, down the dusty trail toward Jerusalem, walking through Jericho. This one who's healed the sick and caused the lame to leap like a hart and raised the dead and caused the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. Hey, this one. Hey, this is God here, fella. He was rich in the holy city. He became poor and walked the dusty hills of Judea for your sake, Zacchaeus. Hey, you filling your water pot there. Ma'am, you who've been married five times, you who are living now with a man who's not yours, you with your unholy skirt, you with your soiled character, for your sake, this fellow standing beside you here, or sitting beside you on the well, the curb of the well, do you know who he is? This is the Son of God. He was worshipped in heaven as the crown prince of glory. He laid aside all of that to come here. Why? To suffer your hell. Hey, he came for your sake, ma'am. For your sake. You, running a body house in Jericho. You living on the walls of the city of Jericho, running a house of prostitution, a whorehouse, if you please. You, I know what you've done. I know your life. I know how many men you've had. I know how many people whose virtue you've spoiled. I know how many homes you've broken up. I know how many children you've left orphans. I know that. But I got good news for you, Rahab. Jesus is going to come for your sake. It was for your sake that he came. He was rich, became poor for your sake. Hey, you crooked thief. You said a while ago that you indeed justly were suffering. You committed the crime that deserves this kind of punishment. Would you please look at the fellow beside you? No, not the one on the other side. The one in the middle. The one who looks different. The one whose death is in the place of Barabbas. The one who was wrongly accused, wrongly tried, wrongly convicted, wrongly punished. Hey, thief, I got news for you. You can go to heaven if you want to, for he who was rich became poor, that you, for your sake, that you can go to heaven and be rich. You! Oh, you say you've never gone to church? That doesn't matter. Oh, you say you never have been baptized? That doesn't matter. You say you never have tithed? That doesn't matter. You see, sir, you don't go to heaven because you joined the church, or because you get baptized, or because you kiss the big toe of the Pope in Rome. You don't go to heaven because you confess your sins to a priest. You go to heaven because you trust that man right there beside you. He was rich. He became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. All right, you fellows over here in the boat, casting your nets, fishermen by trade. I'm talking to you, Peter. I'm talking to you, James. I'm talking to you, John, and you fishermen here. I got some good news for you. Back yonder not long ago, a stranger came to town. He came down the wilderness, and there was a strange preacher named John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw this stranger come and pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You know what that was, Peter? James, John, Andrew, you know what that was? Listen to me now. Listen to me. They're in the boat. Listen to me. You know what that was? That's the Son of God. He used to live in heaven. He was adored by angels. He had fellowship with the Father. He walked down golden streets and through gates of pearl in a city that knew no pain, nor sorrow, nor heartache, or death, nor illness. That's Jesus, God in the flesh. Hey, that's him. He was rich, became poor. Peter, for your sake. John, for your sake. Andrew, for your sake. Hey, and for your sake too. He was rich, became poor. You up there in the chariot. You, the secretary of treasury, of the treasury of Ethiopia, in that beautiful official chariot with the Ethiopian seal on either side. You important man up there. Hey, you're reading the Bible. Hey, you got the right chapter too in the right book, Isaiah and 53. You got it. Hey, you. You know what happened? What the story's all about? Isaiah 53, it talks about the Prince of Glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. He was rich, the object of heaven's glory. He came to earth. Why came? For you. You trust him right now. Trust him. For your sake, he came. Hey, you, persecuting Christians in the name of God, on your road to Damascus even now, to kill other Christians for your sake. Hey, you with a cat of nine tails held firmly in your hand, about to strike the Savior, or maybe you've already struck the Savior. You lashing his back 39 times with one little whip that has nine tails on it, with hunks of lead up and down each one of those tails. Hey, you, while you're lashing the Son of God, it was for your sake he became poor. You, placing the crown of thorns on his brow. You, who planted the crown of thorns. You, who gave the tree on which he's being crucified. And you that made the cross. And you jeering mob that said, "Crucify him." And by the way, you false witnesses over here that lied about him. It was for your sake. I said, for your sake. I said, for your sake. Hallelujah. For my sake too. He who was rich became poor for your sake. For your sake. That we, through his poverty, might become rich. So we who walk on streets of dust might walk forever on streets of gold. So we who have walked with feet of clay might someday have a body even like his own. So we who live in toil and pain might forever be free of toil and pain. So we who are promised 70 might live forever in a land where we'll never grow old. Hallelujah. What a Savior. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him as Lord of all. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing the praises and glories of our God and King. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. He who was rich for your sakes became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. What a gospel. What a Savior. And what love. Go home tonight loving him a bit more than when you came. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.